Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
What Tim Walz is doing, and I honestly, Tim, I think you got a tough job here, because you've got to play whack-a-mole. You've got to pretend that Donald Trump didn't deliver rising take-home pay, which of course he did. You've got to pretend that Donald Trump didn't deliver lower inflation, which of course he did. And then you simultaneously got to defend Kamala Harris's atrocious economic record, which has made gas, groceries, and housing unaffordable for American citizens.
There's so much. If I were teaching debate, there's so much about this that is right. Because, listen, he just completely eviscerated both Kamala Harris and Tim Walz while expressing sympathy. I'm so sorry that you're in this position of having to deny the facts about what happened when my guy was president and avoid the facts about what is happening when your gal is vice president. It's just a hard thing for you, son. Like, brilliant. So brilliant. Anyway, really good moments in the debate last. A great debate. I mean, a real debate. Like, a civil, serious, productive, meaningful. So, of course, it came in the context of something that doesn't matter for anything. Because they're not the presidential candidates. I mean, it was really interesting and really good. And there are a lot of parts of it I wish were more substantial than they were. And I know that, you know, Margaret Brennan did a horrible job. And we got to get to this other stuff. Stop talking. Like, shut up, woman. It's not your debate. It's not about you. It's not your agenda. It's let us meet the candidates. Let them talk a little bit. You don't have to reset between every candidate. They know how to interact against each other. But, okay, my own thoughts about the caliber of news person that Margaret Brennan isn't aside. There was so much that was good. And even, like, even towards the end, okay, where there really wasn't a lot of feistiness until the very end, but the stuff at the end was very interesting because they were talking in the context of, like, January 6th, right? And, you know, about what to do when you deny the election. This had become one of the juicier clips from the debate last night, and I'll play it in the context here, but I thought it was a very interesting move by the team Vance to shift the conversation about threat to democracy away from January 6th and toward something else.
I believe that we actually do have a threat to democracy in this country, but unfortunately, it's not the threat to democracy that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz want to talk about. It is the threat of censorship. It's Americans casting aside lifelong friendships because of disagreements over politics. It's big technology companies silencing their fellow citizens. And it's Kamala Harris saying that rather than debate and persuade her fellow Americans, she'd like to censor people who engage in misinformation. I think that is a much bigger threat to democracy than anything that we've seen in this country in the last 4 years, in the last 40 years.
The thumb on the idea scale of the Biden-Harris administration through social media, I mean, Put aside, you know, the intelligence officer's letter, which was nonsense. Put aside the Russia hoax stuff. Put aside the Hunter Biden laptop story. I mean, all real problems with information freedom. And just look at, like, the censorship and or stifling and or deplatforming during COVID at the behest of the Biden administration. That's a real threat to democracy because it interferes with free speech through big tech. And the Biden-Harris administration did that. That's a really interesting reframe of the who's a threat to democracy, right?
We're united behind a basic American First Amendment principle that we ought to debate our differences. We ought to argue about them. We ought to try to persuade our fellow Americans. Kamala Harris is engaged in censorship at an industrial scale. She did it during COVID. She's done it over a number of other issues. And that, to me, is a much bigger threat to democracy than what Donald Trump said when he said that protesters should peacefully protest on January the 6th.
So, of course, Walz had a response in talking about the value of conceding the election when you lose, which I totally agree is a very important American feature of a peaceful transfer of power.
I think this issue of settling our differences at the ballot box, shaking hands when we lose, being honest about it, but to deny what happened, on January 6th, the first time in American history that a president or anyone tried to overturn a fair election and the peaceful transfer of power. And here we are 4 years later in the same boat. I will tell you this, that when this is over, we need to shake hands this election, and the winner needs to be the winner. This has got to stop. It's tearing our country apart.
Okay, so again, in theory, I agree with that. In practice, everybody does challenge election results, and a lot of the critique of Trump on this hangs on whether you believe he encouraged violence or not, or was neglectful of handling the problem once it got into place, and to what degree you blame him for that. I mean, a lot of conversation that's backstory here, right?
It's really rich for Democratic leaders to say that Donald Trump is a unique threat to democracy when he peacefully gave over power on January the 20th, as we have done for 250 years in this country. We are going to shake hands after this debate and after this election. And of course, I hope that we win, and I think we're going to win. But if Tim Walz is the next vice president, he'll have my prayers, he'll have my best wishes, and he'll have my help whenever he wants it.
Again, I thought that was a really human moment. I personally didn't. I didn't buy the, you know, peacefully transit, because that feels like you're trying a little bit too hard to ignore what happened on January 6th. I would have liked a more robust allowance that January 6th is a real problem worth talking about. And it seemed like the, well, we did transfer power, you know, 3 weeks later is, yeah, I don't know. That's not really good enough. We'll come back to this in a second, because this, like I said, the end of the debate was actually very interesting. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with that accident on Avalon Boulevard as you're headed southbound toward I-10. The traffic's not as bad, just a minor 10-minute delay. They're starting to move people, but still just be aware of that. Also, if you're heading in from Pace to Pensacola on Highway 90, you're going to see about a 10-minute delay there, and about a 5-minute delay if you're going from I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest through Highway 29 in that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this conversation about, look, Hillary and the Democrats did it too. I think I just played that clip, right, about them, about the Russia hoax. I think I played this one.
We have to remember that in this country, Democrats protested the results of elections. Hillary Clinton in 2016 said that Donald Trump had the election stolen by Vladimir Putin because the Russians bought like $500,000 worth of Facebook ads. This has been going on for a long time. And if we want to say that we need to respect the results of the election, I'm on board. But if we want to say, as Tim Walz is saying, that this is just a problem that Republicans have had, I don't buy that.
Yeah, challenging and denying elections and blaming all kinds of sources and delegitimizing elected officials is a problem that both sides have been guilty of, and both sides should stop. Should really stop. It's, and saying you're doing it after they did it, therefore it's okay, is also nonsense, okay? The wrong thing doesn't become right because we both do it, right?
I'm going to thank Senator Vance. I think this is the conversation they want to hear. And I think there's a lot of agreement, but this is one that we are miles apart on. This was a threat to our democracy in a way that we had not seen. And it manifested itself because of Donald Trump's inability to say. He is still saying he didn't lose the election. I would just ask that. Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
That is a damning non-answer.
It's a damning non-answer for you to not talk about censorship. Obviously, Donald Trump and I think that there were problems in 2020. We've talked about it. I'm happy to talk about it further. But you guys attack us for not believing in democracy. The most sacred right under the United States democracy is the First Amendment. You yourself have said there's no First Amendment right to misinformation. Kamala Harris wants to use the power of government and big tech to silence people from speaking their minds. That is a threat to democracy that will long outlive this present political moment.
That's a very interesting conversation. I mean, what's the real danger to democracy? You know, was January 6th a threat to democracy? I would say yes. Is censoring people in their positions on social media, even though it's a privately run company, but using government influence to stifle speech, is that a threat? Yes. Is putting up fake information and acting as if it's valid in all of the various ways it has been used against Donald Trump, is that a threat? Yes. Is allowing a legal system to prosecute a former president because he is now a candidate, is that a threat to him? Yes. There's a lot of ways democracy can be threatened, and talking about more than just January 6th in this context, I think is good. But I also, okay, also think that, you know, it's good to hear them have this conversation, right?
I would like Democrats and Republicans to both reject censorship. Let's persuade one another. Let's argue about ideas, Amen. And then let's come together afterwards.
You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's the test. That's the Supreme Court test.
Tim, fire in a crowded theater. You guys wanted to kick people off of Facebook for saying that toddlers shouldn't
Senator,
wear
the
masks.
Governor does
that's
have
not
the floor.
Fire in a crowded theater. That is criticizing the policies of the government, which is the right of every American.
Senator, the governor does have the floor for 1 minute to
Please.
Respond to you.
Yeah. Well, I don't run Facebook.
Ooh. Yeah, but the administration had a really heavy hand trying to persuade them and to successfully lobby them and Twitter and other platforms on what they could and couldn't say when questioning COVID policy, for instance, right? So I don't run Facebook may be true, but that would be one thing if Facebook were engaging in a policy that you didn't have any help in shaping, or that your candidate didn't have any help in shaping, but she did. They did. If you're going to own the Biden administration, you got to own the responsibility for that. That's what they're getting at here. But still, you know, back to this question of threats to democracy and who is obligated to do what. I actually thought that, you know, Tim Walz made a very good point about Mike Pence.
When Mike Pence made that decision to certify that election, that's why Mike Pence isn't on this stage. What I'm concerned about is, where is the firewall with Donald Trump? Where is the firewall if he knows he could do anything, including taking an election, and his vice president's not going to stand to it? That's what we're asking you, America. Will you stand up? Will you keep your oath of office, even if the president doesn't?
Look, again, in theory, that's a great question. Because what I want from a vice president, it's not something I think I'd thought about an awful lot, but yeah, part of the role of vice president, look at the 25th Amendment, is check against the president. I mean, that's not primary duty, but it's in there. And will you, if just like will the generals say no to a president who does wrong things? I mean, these are all fair, which, again, I think Vance missed an opportunity, because if you can critique, you know, if you can say, well, you know, Pence isn't here because he did stand up to the president. Okay. Kamala Harris is on the stage in spite of the fact that she didn't stand up to a president who clearly is not mentally capable of running the country, and that she helped collude and hide that for a long time. You know, the clean hands game here is a little bit more difficult than he wants to say.
So, America, I think you've got a really clear choice on this election of who's going to honor that democracy and who's going to honor Donald Trump.
So, again, you know, this was, like I said, it was surprising because it had been so tame throughout, and it got very heated right towards the end, and I thought it was valuable. And honestly, I think J.D. Vance wins this debate 60-40. That's the way I call it. I think they both did very well. It was a much more interesting debate than either of the other ones, at least in terms of what I want from a debate. Now, were the other ones captivating and fascinating and lots of moments? I mean, sure. And the first debate knocked out a presidential candidate, right? And changed the entire perception of his capacity. So in terms of history, that was the one. And this is not going to make much difference for anybody other than a lot of people having, you know, sort of buyer's remorse about, well, could we not have these guys, you know, or people like them? Where are these people? Well, you know, in the one party, we had primaries and we made choices. In the other party, they had primaries and made choices, then completely threw those away and picked somebody else. So, you know, whatever. But I did think that J.D. Vance had the best sum up.
Now, I've been in politics long enough to do what Kamala Harris does when she stands before the American people and says that on day one, she's going to work on all these challenges I just listed. She's been the vice president for 3.5 years. Day one was 1,400 days ago, and her policies have made these problems worse.
Which has been the fact that he kept coming back to that again and again is the right strategy. And again, whatever you think about Trump's tweets or his demeanor or his personality, all of which I despise, look at the results. Don't look at who you like. Don't look at who you enjoy in a debate. Don't look at the things that people say. I mean, even though that matters, look at the results. And I thought, and this is what I have said many times, every time Trump opens his mouth, he makes me not want to vote for him. And then I think what happened under his presidency, and I want to vote for him. Regardless of what Kamala Harris says, I look at the policies and the effects, and I don't want to vote for that. That's the way I'm looking at it. Okay, you choose how you want to look at it or not, but final word from J.D. Vance.
We need a new direction. We need a president who has already done this once before and did it well. Please vote for Donald Trump. And whether you vote for me or vote for Tim Walz, I just want to say I'm so proud to be doing this, and I'm rooting for you. God bless you, and good night.
And I'm rooting for you. Very likable. You know, who won the likability? Although I will say that Tim Walz's greatest strength in this debate may have been something that nobody has given him credit for. He definitely captured the Don Rickles affection lookalike vote. The times when he was looking sideways at J.D. Vance skeptically, kind of shaking his jowls at him silently, and I was like, who does that remind me of? Who does that remind? I know. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by the Santa Rosa County Supervisor of Elections. Registration deadline for the November 5th general election is October 7th. New registrations need completion and received or postmarked by that date. You can go to votesantarosa.gov for more.
I like Santa Rosa.
Yeah, I knew you would. I knew that you'd love that.
I love how you looked at me all like, is he going to say anything?
I know it's coming. I just know it's coming. Vehicle crash with roadblock, still dealing with it. It's off to the side of the road on Avalon Boulevard and Del Monte Street as you head to I-10 southbound there. So other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Sounds kind of high class, you know, Santa Rosa. Like with hors d'oeuvres. Hey, if you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go, where to look, Frontier Motors has a good selection, about 300 different good, high quality used cars and trucks and vans and SUVs and Jeeps and sports cars. And, you know, you get A quality vehicles that have, you know, maybe 10 to 50 or 60,000 miles on them, sometimes a little bit more. But, you know, that's what they really specialize in, cars that are a couple of years old in great condition that they sell to you and that you can drive for a long time, like Dave Ramsey recommends. You know, pick a used car that's going to be good and hang on to it for a while. That's what they specialize in. Also, they stand behind their cars. And right now, you're dealing with a market that may soon start to see water, flood, damaged vehicles, hurricane damaged vehicles. You want to make sure to avoid that. Frontier will make sure you avoid that because they'll stand by them. And they got a 100,000-mile, you know, warranty on all their cars. So you know you can trust what you're getting from them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Join Claimology tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's tomorrow at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
A 8:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne has a headline for us in the newsroom. David?
New York City Mayor Eric Adams will be back in federal court today for a hearing in connection with his federal corruption charges. The judge is expected to set a timetable for a criminal trial. Yesterday, Adams insisted he could still run the city and said he won't be stepping down.
I still can't believe the longshoremen strike. They were offered a 50% raise over 6 years, and they turned it down because they want a 70% raise over 6 years.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. During a pretty calm civil vice presidential debate hosted by CBS News, the candidates agree something should be done about immigration and border security.
Republican VP nominee J.D. Vance saying migrants who commit crimes should be a focus.
I think you start with deportations on those folks.
Democratic VP nominee Tim Walz said immigration reform could have happened in Congress, but it was stopped by former President Trump.
Because it gives him a campaign issue.
Walz reiterated that the bill should be revived and passed by Congress.
Fox's Gernal Scott. The Israeli military reports its first soldier killed during the new fighting in Lebanon.
Initial reports do indicate that Hezbollah ambushed Israeli forces on the other side of the border. We do expect the casualty rate to continue to rise.
Fox's Trey Yanks. President Biden surveys storm damage in North Carolina today. Vice President Harris in Georgia. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 74 degrees right now. The sun's shining in Pensacola this morning. The world is watching as Iran and Israel following yesterday's attacks.
If the past is any guide, it seems like this might just be signaling on Iran's part that they want to look tough as Israel is attacking Hezbollah.
That's UWF professor Dr. Jacob Shively, and he says what happens next will be important. President Biden has said the U.S. is standing firmly with Israel. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz called the attacks unjustified and unacceptable in a post on X yesterday. Senator Rick Scott released a statement saying the U.S. needs to make it clear that Iran will pay dearly for the attacks and provide Israel with whatever support it needs. A man shot and killed in Escambia County last night. That happened between North Loop Road and Blue Angel Parkway. Deputies say a suspect has been arrested and is in custody so far. Their identity hasn't been released. Investigators say they are still looking into the homicide and haven't released any information on a potential motive. We're still watching a possible development on the Gulf.
Basically a weak area of low pressure with some showers and thunderstorms. Pretty disorganized at this point. The formation chance through the next 7 days is 40%, same as it was yesterday, although over the weekend it was a bit higher at 50%. We just need to watch it. We'll keep you updated.
That is Channel 3 meteorologist Alan Strum and the National Hurricane Center also watching two other systems in the Atlantic. Hurricane Kirk, not expected to threaten land. A disturbance 2 currently has a 90% chance of development. It's currently a couple hundred miles southwest of the Cabo Verde Islands. Too early to tell what could happen with that. A warning for students in Santa Rosa County. Superintendent Dr. Karen Barber and Sheriff Bob Johnson posting a video online warning students and parents about the consequences of posting school threats.
And the consequences are, it's a felony. And one of the great things about committing a felony in Santa Rosa County, no matter what your age is, I can make you Facebook famous, and I will.
Sheriff Johnson says students will be perp walked and charged, and says the parents will be charged for the time it takes to investigate and legal fees involved. Officials reminding parents it's their responsibility to monitor their child's digital devices. Area postal workers are on strike, at least some of them. Employees with the American Postal Workers Union in Pensacola hit the picket lines yesterday on West Jordan Street. Those employees say they want improved staffing, customer service, and an opportunity for public input. Looks like Okaloosa County may have sealed the deal to get the SS United States. The county board approving that purchase at just over $10 million yesterday on a 4-1 vote. Commissioner Carolyn Ketchel was against it.
My buck, buying more beach access where we knock down condominiums and buy more property where people can actually, tourists can go out to the beach, would be a better bang for the buck for $10 million.
But the rest of the board did vote to approve the deal. Commissioner Trey Goodwin said Okaloosa County wouldn't be on the hook for the entire purchase price. They're planning to use tourism tax dollars and also have community partners invest in that project. And if you're a fan of the Cops TV show, well, you'll be happy to know that the Escambia Sheriff's Office continues to be involved with it.
We should have them in here in a couple of months, probably. They'll start filming, and so you'll see the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, your Escambia County Sheriff's Office, back on Cops here shortly. Because my thought is, we don't have anything to hide. And look, we got cameras all over our cars and our deputies anyways. And let's show the people what we're doing at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
And that's Sheriff Chip Simmons. Cops runs on Fox's online streaming platform, Fox Nation, which offers year-long subscription discounts for veterans, military members, and first responders as well. It's 8:35 now at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report right now, but again, we're seeing some slowdown just right around the Highway 29 exit on I-10 eastbound through that construction delay. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It is going to be a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Thursday, 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorm, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Rain chances increase on Friday with a 60% chance of rain, high near 83 and a low near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
74 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, and 73 in Milton. Your money now this morning. Markets are down. The Dow is down 41 points at 42,115.01. S&P down 20 points at 56,88.63. And the NASDAQ down 79 points at 17,830.49 today. 10-year bond rate up a bit at 3.81%. Gold prices down $12.50 at $26.77.80. Silver prices up 43 cents at $32.18. And Bitcoin down almost $1,100 at $60,767. The number of job openings is up for August. The Labor Department says just over 8 million jobs were available, up from July's revised tally of 7.9 million job openings. Analysts say the larger-than-expected increase signals strength in the labor market. The Biden administration says they're supporting the U.S. dock workers on day two of the major union strike by the International Longshoremen's Association. It's blocking everything from food to vehicle shipments at ports all the way from Maine to Texas. Analysts estimating that strike could have a major economic impact of billions of dollars per day. And Tesla and SpaceX founder Elon Musk has agreed to send dozens of Starlink receivers and terminals to Western North Carolina. They're trying to help residents regain access to the internet. The portable devices can be used in a variety of settings, including homes and boats. It's 8:38. Your next news at 9 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
More than just a location, the Port of Pensacola is a thriving economic engine and a strategic gateway fueling growth and prosperity across Northwest Florida. Since 1754, it's become the cornerstone of the region's economic vitality, with over 20 dynamic businesses calling it home, including major players like Cemex Materials, General Electric Verona's Wind Energy, Offshore Inland Marine, Pete Stevedore, and the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Discover the possibilities at portofpensacola.com.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates the recent winners and finalists in the 2024 Pensacola News Journal Community Choice Awards.
Here is one of the recent winners who can say they are the best of the Bay.
Scenic Hills Country Club thanks you, Pensacola, for naming us Best of the Bay 2024. We are honored and enjoy providing you with a first-class experience on the course and in the dining room. Visit scenichills.com to plan your visit. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Congratulations to all the Best of the Bay winners.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, this one comes from a listener. It's actually a very interesting one because a listener texted me and then sent me a follow-up text correcting a word that he had misspelled in the previous text and then sent me a follow-up text that said, ooh, that'd be a good frivolous topic. Do you send the follow-up correction text? 437-1620, 437-1620. When you're texting, do you? Because, I mean, surely I am not the only person that ever misspells something in a text. Like every single person, either because you fat finger it or you don't edit or you send it too fast or voice to text or, man, if I could ever find the person, you know, you go back in history and you take out despicable people, whoever invented autocorrect, I just want them dead from the universe. How many times I have to fight my phone? No, that's actually what I meant. Undo. Anyway, so, and some phones are worse than others. Apple's the worst. 437-1620. So the question is, when you text and you discover there was an error in your text, do you send a follow-up with the correct, and how do you correct it? Do you send just the word? Do you send asterisk, like you're an editor, asterisk with the word? Or do you trust in the intelligence of the other person to know that you are also not a fool? 437-1620. John, protocol for you?
Yes, I would put the word that I meant to say in the next one, but no asterisk. I don't have time for all that.
Because you got to navigate to the hold the button down
exactly,
to get the asterisk, or
I'm
navigate
like,
to your exclamation mark screen or whatever you call
got no time
it, symbols.
For that.
Yeah.
You?
I only will send a correction if I think it might have been unclear because of the error. So if I think that somehow the mistake made it so that they'll misunderstand me, or maybe it shifts tone, you know, that kind of thing, then I'll send a, you know, hey, sorry, blah, blah. I don't usually just send the word. Sometimes I might send the word. People who text with me might correct and say I'd do it differently. I don't use the asterisk, no.
No.
You're smart enough to realize what I'm doing when I send just a word, and it's a word that was missed in the wrong. But I don't do it just to correct the spelling. I trust you know me well enough to know that I know how to spell and just can't type on a phone very well. So, you know, when I send you, hey, I've just got a question for you, and then I see it after I hit send, or, you know, somebody sends me a piece of, and I say, Thabix, I trust you know I'm not an idiot. I may text like an idiot, but I trust you know that I know how to spell just. Or that I know how to spell thanks. I don't need to prove to you that I know how to spell thanks. If that's where our relationship is, I mean, I'm just done to begin with. The bar of trust is too low. 643, or too high. I don't know which way the analogy works there. 643 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable question of the day. Do you send correction texts? If so, how? How do you do it? And, you know, or do you just trust that the other person knows that you're not an imbecile? Somebody says, no need to correct. People know what you meant unless it completely changes the word to another confusing word. Right. Or, you know, and something that's not safe for work, which oddly, sometimes it will try to do that. Somebody here says, I'm going to give credit because you know this person, John Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
John Hutchinson sent me a perfect text for this. He says, happens to me all the time, T-H-Y-M-E.
Good one. Good one. I like it.
Well done, sir.
Yes.
Well done. 437-1620. I have been battery that all morning. Edit battling. You know what I didn't do? Earlier when I made the most horrendous segue in all of human history, and I went from talking about, what was it even? It was
licking
the
donuts?
Oh, it was Ariana Grande licking donuts into an ad for Pensacola Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I had people send me texts about, well, if you're worried about contaminants, then you use this, a nice eye full of bleach. You know, like, they literally sent me the funniest segue connections from how you could have done it, Andrew, if you'd have really wanted to. And I'm like, oh, y'all are just the best. I do love the snark, and y'all are high on the snark. 437-1620. Absolutely, I tried to read my text before I sent it, and there are boo-boos sometimes, and obviously there are boo-boos in the one I just sent you. Of course. Let's see. Asterisk with the correct word if I know I spelled it wrong or sent the wrong word. Okay, so you're nervous about how people perceive. That's what I think. When people send me that, it actually makes me think, oh, you're insecure. I might be able to press on this a little bit. No, I'm not. I wouldn't do that. But, you know, when it always feels like it's not close friends that do that, right? It's kind of like acquaintances. People that maybe don't know you well enough to know whether they can trust that you know that they're not a fool. Or maybe they're not sure that you know that they're they want to not give you ammunition. Somebody says, often when the word misspelled means something different than what I meant, I leave it. And if it makes the person laugh, then that's just an extra bonus. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're still dealing with a little bit of congestion on I-10 eastbound through that construction zone, but not really much of a delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We have our intern. I wish she was in here today because this is a question I would love to ask younger folks, what their practice is. I assume they're laughing at us.
Probably.
Because whatever they do, I'm sure it's something. It's neither ignore it nor asterisk. I'm going to regret saying this. Maybe they're all such bad spellers they don't even know.
You might be right.
Angry text at 437-1620. Tell me I'm totally wrong. Somebody says autocorrect and word correct are devices of the devil. You send an oops sometimes. And okay. Autocorrect coworkers for Chinese. I'm going to lunch with my Chinese workers. Okay. If we text every day, you already know what I meant. It's text grammar. I will not correct it. When sending your friend's husband, I need six of something. I definitely sent the correction. Oh, well, now you're just trying to cover up. 437-1620. Somebody sent me three texts in a row. Aquiz, always with an asterisk behind. Although I thought the asterisk was supposed to go in front for these. Anyway, and then see what I did there? I send the correction afterwards, and then the correction, I send a separate text that says stupid phone, so they know it wasn't my fault, so they end up getting three texts all together. Yeah, nothing like blaming the technology. That's great. Depends on the recipient, but I talk to the phone, and whoever set up the autocorrect system is an idiot. Somebody says, are you talking about my last text? Somebody wants to know if I'm talking about them. Probably. On continuation of what you're just saying, now my sister always corrects herself, and I say, really? Do you think I'm a moron? I don't know what you meant. Exactly. Auto defect. Dang it. Somebody put, I use it all the time. See, oh, we get all these funny texts. All right. Anyway, 437-1620. That's my question of the day. Frivolous topic of the day, just for funsies. Why not? 848 News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get the best deal either way, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're just good at this. And, you know, one of the things that if you're selling, part of what's hard about both buying and selling is you're not quite sure what's normal. You know, when you're buying, you're not quite sure what you can ask for and get away with, like they'll do it. But same thing when you're selling. You don't know what they're asking for and whether you should grant it to them. And especially if you haven't sold a house in a while or bought it. Like, the market's different, especially in Florida with the home insurance. You know, I was just talking about this with Christina Leavenworth last week when she was in here for Pep Talk. And she's like, yeah, man, everything's different. And you need to know what's normal. You know, when they tell you, I'm going to need you to replace that roof that's 11 years old. Is that normal? or not? Should I? Shouldn't I? You know, it's a lot of money, right? And that kind of stuff, that's why you want a good real estate agent. And especially somebody who has seen enough examples of transactions that they really know what's normal. Well, if you sell one a month or less, which is really common for a lot of real estate agents, that's not helpful for knowing what's normal. But Christine Leavenworth, they sold 175 homes last year, 122 homes as of about 3 weeks ago this year. So they sell enough to really get a sense of how the market is shifting in these practices. 723-9158 for Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas. Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas power business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Atlas Beverage Class, Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, flavors that forge the South Dinner at Jackson's, holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. That's all today at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Y'all come back now. Here.
So this is a bit of a discouraging note, but you know how there's this longshoreman strike going on where the container ship offloaders at a whole bunch of ports all the way from Texas up to New England are on strike right now. And yes, it's disappointing to think about what they're asking for. And, you know, we've talked about it a couple of times, but they currently top out at $39 an hour, which is $78,000 a year. They are asking for a six-year step up of $30 an hour total, $5 a year to go to $69 an hour, which would be, not Bill and Ted. Anyway, to go to $138,000 a year, that's what they want. And they turned down $59 an hour at that same time period. So they had a 50% offer, and they turned it down for the 70% that they're demanding, that they're putting us in economic jeopardy because of. So way to go, unions. You're really reaffirming my belief that you cause more problems than you justify. I'd give you a long explanation of why I'm not in favor of unions in general. We'll hear. Why not? Okay, here's the short version, okay? At a time in the past when, the robber baron kind of, Upton Sinclair sort of world that we lived in, abuse of laborers, long hours, child labor, across the board, all the stuff. Unions made sense. It really made sense. Collective bargaining, collective threatening is what it is. It's collective threatening. Collective threatening was needed against the power who had often used the cops to suppress the strikes and shoot people. I mean, it was really bad. And then you got a bunch of legislation passed. You got a lot of changes passed. And you don't really need unions anymore. What they do now is try to justify their existence by artificially inflating wages and or threatening to not perform their job if they don't get what they... generally speaking, now I'm more supportive of fire union, police union, things like that. But generally speaking, and my wife was an engineer. She worked at a brass manufacturing company, Olin, in Alton, which is they own Winchester and some chemicals, and they used to stamp metal for the mint and stuff like that. And their company went on strike, and she was in engineer management, so she had to go work the strike. And nothing affirmed my hatred of unions like going to take my manager, engineer wife, young wife, to walk through the picket line as a required managerial employee and to see how they would act towards her and what they would do, because, it's really despicable, okay? If unions wanted to have a real place in this world, the way they would do it would be train and educate and make sure that your employee, your members are like so outstanding that they are such a better labor product than the average off the street person that they can justify and command through output and productivity a higher wage. Now all of a sudden you're like a trade skills production organization, in which case you really are bringing value to the table. Hey, we think that we have this professional level of capability and you should pay us more for it, as opposed to, if you don't pay us what we want, we're just going to stop working and we're going to prevent anybody else from coming into work in our place. If you were really highly qualified, nobody else would be able to come in and work in your place because you'd so outperform. Like, there's a way unions could be run right, and they're just not run that way. Okay, that's my long soliloquy on unions, semi-long. But here's the problem. I told you there's a discouraging news note about this particular strike, and it's how people are reacting. I'll tell you in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Not seeing any accidents right now to slow you down. Just a minor delay on I-10 eastbound headed toward that construction zone on Highway 29 exit. Other than that, things look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, the text I'm getting. Dock workers on strike, better watch out. The government might bust in illegal immigrants to take the jobs for minimum wage. It's a lot less than $59 even dollars an hour, or $39. Unions stink because the people who are in charge of them get greedy. They're highly political. Unions did start out like a lot of things to help people. And somebody else says, unions protect lazy slackers. I'm a former Teamster. Yeah, the protection of the bad and the whole idea of tenure or of, you know, time served as, you know, no, output, productivity, those should be the measures. Which, again, if you were really a productivity-oriented entity, then you wouldn't have to protect people based on time. You wouldn't have to make it so hard to get rid of the incompetent people. Instead of being a protectionist racket, which is essentially what many unions nowadays are, you would be a productivity racket, in which case you would have something to offer and sell. But again, long, long conversation, worthy maybe of a different time. But I take you to Mobile, where they are in the midst of a strike because, you know, their port has union workers and they do offload container ships there. And apparently, store shelves are now scarce because people are scared that they won't be able to get the stuff they need. So they're overbuying, hoarding now. And as we all learned during COVID, it only takes just a little ripple in consumer malpractice to screw up the whole system. And of course, it feeds on itself, right? You see, you go on a Tuesday and everything's fine. You go on a Thursday and the shelves are like, you know, 20% empty. And you're like, and then you buy more. And then other people see you buy more. And then everybody buys more. And all of a sudden, they're gone because nobody's got supply chain developed to handle that level of sudden surge in demand. People, be nice. Behave. We're trying to have a civilization here. And yeah, I know it's the silly union strike that's causing it, but you made it worse. 8:57 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. They do drive up the cost of labor, somebody else says. $45 too much, much less $60, agreed. One thing this it's worth noting, we haven't talked much about the Iranian strike against Israel and that, you know, all the different layers of missile defense, including two United States ship Arleigh Burke class destroyers, including the Cole was one of them. The other one, I want to give credit where credit is due, because like we train, you know, maintenance, NETSI. You might think primarily about aviation here, but as I've been trying to do in the Tenant Command series, we train all kinds of people here. And so there are people who trained in Pensacola for sure operating on that ship, and there are people who trained under commands housed in Pensacola operating on these ships and, you know, taking out Iranian missiles, you know, ballistic missiles with their defensive technology. They shot about a dozen missiles off of these two Navy destroyers. So, you know, it's like this is the Navy really doing its job, being in combat no matter what Kamala Harris lies about. Anyway, the USS Bulkley is the other one. Destroyer, guided missile destroyer, DDG-84, and DDG-67 is the Cole. Remember, the Cole suffered the bombing, but they obviously repaired it. Anyway, people ask, what made this different? Well, one of the differences is that, like, the Hezbollah rocket attacks are kind of a low-speed, low-trajectory attack, and Iron Dome is designed to take those out. That's an older technology, but that can take out rockets and even artillery shells. The higher altitude ones that go up and come down very fast, they wind up being hypersonic, not because they are hypersonic by definition, but because, like, cruise missiles would be a low trajectory, and they can be hypersonic. But shooting those down is much harder, but even those were shot down by the multi-layered defense. If you're interested in the sort of the technology of it all and all the different things that that Israel has, I put up a really good article from CNN about understanding the missile defense of Israel. It's very interesting. One of the things it didn't go into, and I wish it had, is why, generally speaking, like Star Wars type strategic defense initiative stuff cannot work. But that's not
what's
relevant.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.